Association. But they're describing JW, water on his head with a big crystal necklace. Reiner then gives it probably a picture of himself, user's desktop tree guy. Wouldn't that be Ion? I mean, Reiner putting his upside down trees? It might be. You can go on there, Carol, and get the link and check it. And Greg says, I used to love Heckle and Jekyll. Very early on, I would do drawings of them running, always with their arms out in front of themselves. So then Felix says, Greg, there are multiple JWs. Have at it. Okay. Then Greg goes, what? She used her father's money to bring in a profit? That's now Greg is shocked at what you did, Ginny. You used your own father's money to bring in a profit. He goes, what? Ginny used her father's money to bring in a profit? Then Gene goes, right on, Ginny. And then, what was the profit? You wanted to bring in someone who was psychic or something?
Yeah, well, I mean, in the charismatic part of the church, there are different, applications for the spiritual gifts, and one of them is the gift of prophecy, where they do have, it's kind of like psychic, but not really, because it's more couched in Christianity. But anyway, and they can come in and say, you know, the Lord shows me that you're going to be doing this or that or so on and so forth.
Right. And, so you did bring in somebody who had a reputation.
Oh, I did. Yes, I did. Yeah,
okay.
I sure did. Yeah.
All right.
And of
so
course, that was what I was looking for. Well, wait, but let me just say that's because that was what I was waiting for in Ion. You know, again, I was trying to get it done. You know, Ion, somebody who would show up and kind of explain things and also give you that insight into your own potential, your own realities, what your options were, and how you could create different outcomes. I mean, that's what you wanted, is somebody could look futuristically and not be limited by where you see yourself in the past. So anyway, that's what that was all about.
Yeah, that was you anticipating Ion. And Greg,
yes.
We learned from Ion that the cross, the Christian cross, stands for chromosome 14 of your DNA apparatus. Is that what you would say? Is chromosome 14 make up the DNA?
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't. RNA is in there, but it doesn't make up the RNA. The chromosomes do not make up RNA, correct? Okay. So Greg, you want to hear some weird Christianity? There's point one. The cross represents chromosome 14. And then, Greg, you're supposed to say, well, they knew nothing about genetics back then. Well, think again. So Greg says about Ginny, I think someone needs to go to a re-education camp. Okay. Felix says, how about Crusader Rabbit, my other fave? Then someone named Live presents to YouTube, but I don't know what it is. Greg says, I know of Crusader Rabbit, but we didn't get that in our area. That's really early TV cartoon. Then he says that was an early Jay Ward cartoon. See, Greg knows his cartoon history. Greg says mental problems. You were talking about these people having mental problems. Ginny, you know, in your, what do you call it, your diocese, your what do you call it, congregation. Greg says mental problems because they were addled by religion. That's true. Yes, addled by concepts. Felix says, Greg got it in New York City, mid-50s. Both Heckle and Jekyll and the Rabbit. So he saw it in TV in the mid-50s in New York. Greg says, I think Ginny needs to drop her force field and get some expert medical care. See, now he's starting to get agitated. Reiner puts a heart in. Felix says, Greg, she now has Carolyn. All right? That's what Felix says. Greg says, yes, Felix, I was born in 1955, so Crusader Rabbit was gone by the time I came along. Then Kyle. Now, Kyle came in last week. And Kyle always, he's a fundamentalist Christian, or was, or he knows the Bible, he claims. He made a pretty fantastic statement last week for Kyle. Kyle usually gets it wrong. He doesn't know what the hell Ian's talking about. He tries to fit it back in the Bible stuff. But I noted that Kyle said something on Chatline last week, so I made a point of going back to find it, and I'm going to read it. This is probably Kyle's best statement ever in Bible matters. Kyle says, So people were saying things probably about the confusing way iron is when we were doing the session last week on love. Kyle says, I felt the same way when I talked to Ion. I never felt I got any information that was understandable. He would make me think about what I was saying as to did I know what I was saying was true or did I believe what I was saying was true. So do I know versus do I believe? So he's saying that's what he got from Ion, that question. Do I know versus do I believe? Then Kyle says, so I think Ion makes you open your mind to new ideas and possibilities, but never gives you an absolute truth. Other than that's the truth. So Kyle, that's a very good statement. That's a common understanding or reaction to Ion. There is something being said, but you have to perceive it with all your being. Benjamin writes in this last week's new coach shows, he goes, praise Bob. Then Kyle comes back in and says, Ion opens the doors. It's up to you to walk through them or not. So there's Kyle being a little more detached than I think of him. So I'm saying all this because Kyle just posted something. Let's see what he said. He says, I brought up, I know what he's saying here, so I'm jumping ahead. I brought up about religious healing in your congregation, Jitty. And Kyle, who I guess experienced a lot of this stuff, said, most of healing is fake. If a person could really heal people like Jesus did, they would be worldwide famous because of the internet and YouTube. Look at that, Jitty.
So to play the quote-unquote devil's advocate here, there are a lot of very famous healers in this world, and the internet does promote them, and they have a lot of success in their ministries. So you can't say that they would be as famous as Jesus. I mean, people dismiss them just like they dismiss Jesus, and people, you know, are not intrigued or interested by some of that stuff. So, you know, they probably have the same exposure that Jesus would. Everybody thinks that if Jesus came back today or whatever, he'd be like Donald Trump and everybody would know him. I don't think that would be the case at all. I think he'd have the same exact experience. He'd be rejected again. He'd be totally misunderstood and they'd crucify him all over again.
Yeah, did you hear me say, talking about the YouTubes on our Ionauts forum, which was called Dupes of Non-Physical, I'm saying, yeah, if we... I see all the YouTubes, I check the title, but I don't listen to them. And then I said, then I go back and deal with the people attacking me. See, I'm the Jesus. I'm always being attacked. No one gets me, so I'm a candidate for the way Jesus is today. Okay? So Leon goes, Bobby! I don't know if he means I'm the healer after Kyle's statement or what. He just says, Bobby. And then VM says, we're taking up for Ion. Is, i.e., the state of being. Oh, are you? Equals no degrees of separation from a question. So there's no real normal melody in that statement. The words are left out. Reiner says, Ion wrote the book of the Reed, R-E-A-D. Does that mean visual space? Not sure what Reiner's getting there. The book of the Red, book of the Reed. Leon says, Bob, and then he has me... As me, he's doing me. Bob, looking around the audience suspiciously. Who said that? Who said that? Connie, the answer is in this audience. But unfortunately, you cannot hear about her work yet. So I don't know what that is. Maybe he's talking about what I said when I read my notes about Carolyn being a world catalyst. Bob, looking around the audience suspiciously. Who said that? Who said that? Connie, the answer is in this audience. But unfortunately, you cannot hear about her work yet. Yes, I did not tell people back then, if that's what he's referring to, if that's what Leon's referred to. Then someone called the contrarian says, never going to fly. Ascension has never been defined. It's an archaic term anyways. Well, I'll tell you, Ion updates and changes ascension constantly. So if you want a Finneganese processing of the concept of ascension, Ion's the guy that does it the best, or they do it the best. Greg says, Ion is like what I've been told magic mushrooms supposedly do. Yeah. Ion is like what I've been told magic mushrooms supposedly do. So then VM says, can you please state your state of being today? That's why that got writ. Still going on about that. Greg says, wait until those Jesus YouTubes show up. Reiner says, U2Tube, U-T-O-O-T-U-B-E, U also tube, U2Tube. Then Greg, this is the last point, says, wait, from Ginny's explanation, I think I may be Jesus. Good thing I'm in New Brunswick where no one will find me. So that's Greg. See, everybody, even Marxist atheists have a sense of their sovereignty, Ginny. Everybody knows their God or superior. Are you there, Ginny, for that one?
Yes, no, everybody does. I agree 100%. It's just what they, the responsibility of it, of being culpably responsible for everything in their world is something that people have a hard time with. And then they think that being God requires some kind of morality or decision making on the behalf of others. And this is what Ion emphasizes all the time, is that everybody is sovereign in their own world. And if you are God and another person's God, they're in their world creating their reality, and you're under no obligation to do anything about them. And the winds
That's
and the
right.
waves do obey you. I mean, the weather has obeyed us so many times. Now it's also disobeyed me many times, but, you know, fine. But, you know, these things it's true for every single individual.
Yes, and, you know, McLuhan said only once, he said, the printing press brought back the private individual. And then he says the private individual, but not the literate private individual, but he seems to say, he says, the private individual existed way back there before tribal humans, tribal men. So that'd be the caveman, the solitary caveman wandering around, hasn't been socialized in any way yet. We are approaching that with our virtual reality matrix tubes today, retrieving that. But look at the first technology as speech and how that tied the humans together, started to control them or create what I call social mortar, you know, the cement holding the rocks in the wall. So, but McLuhan refers to this period way before speech and that environment, and maybe why McLuhan later said that media do not affect the citadel of consciousness. It's the citadel of consciousness that everybody has, Ginny.
Said that many times. That's, you know, McLuhan's word, private citadel of consciousness. That's fine. And
I dropped
that many
the word
times.
Private. He doesn't say private. He just says citadel of consciousness. And he says it will
okay.
not be broken or invaded by media.
Right. And absolutely, that would be your Godhead. That would be the imperative part of yourself that knows that this whole media interaction is just a, you know, a blip on the screen of your eternity. That it, at the end of days, it has absolutely no consequence whatsoever. So
right.
that is
it's
right. It
the,
would not be invaded. As a matter of fact, it would be denied and probably looked upon with great, you know, disinterest.
Which is how everybody looks at everybody else. In the end, they're looking at you, your friend, with disinterest. Oh, they'll put on sociality and friendship, but in the end, people die alone, you could say.
Yes, and it's healthy. That's the way it should be. This is exactly what Ion has talked about for years. It is the healthiest way to live your life is to be in that kind of a position of being mostly disinterested in others and being, but you have to be able to live that or have that position 100% of the time. It's not like I can be disinterested in you this minute, but then in the next minute I require all of your affection and I'm dependent on you for my income. That's not how it works. You know, you've
no.
got to buck up and be in that place of your power, and that's what authentic power is experienced like in an individual. So I agree completely. That's exactly what Ion has been recommending. And if everybody functioned that way, our society would be extraordinarily healthy, and we would have a much different world.
Right, and so we would learn to fake sincerity. Ion says you don't go around being, you know, non-compassionate. You put on some surface level of interest up to a point, So look how we're in the global theater, the global membrane. We're all intertwined electronically, all yelling and screaming and arguing and seducing each other and all that stuff that's going on. We are at the lowest point of social involvement, social embedment, in the opposite of what you just said, Ginny.
In the opposite of what I just said, yes, absolutely. What did they say, Bob, or what do you say is when something's at its most prominent, that goes to show how obsolete it is.
Obsolete. That's right.
So this prominence
of the
supernova
phase.
Yes, the prominence of the disconnected phase of the human and what the hell we are doing here is so vulgar right now that it is in the supernova phase of just jettisoning us into a brand new experience. It absolutely is imperative. And, you know, what the Bible says is that all of creation calls forth, it like labors like in birth pains to give birth to this new day. And that's exactly what's happening right now. There will be a new day and a new, ascendancy for humans. It's imperative because we are God and we have in our own, DNA, so to speak, the desire to experience ourselves that way.
Right. They call it a supernova. Now, I was going to say something, and I was going to preface it by saying, now listen, here's a sample of my brilliance, but I forgot it. So we don't get to hear my brilliance unless I remember it. But the something about how involved we are with each other, you know, where people are staring at their black mirror, looking at the latest message coming in. So it's quite extreme. That means there's something else lurking. And that's the total proof that I am we show up at this point, because we've externalized the role of non-physical. Non-physical unites all humans on whatever plane that is, wherever non-physical is. All humans are in touch with each other, and that's because they were little humans and required that mortar on the inner plane. We've externalized that. We now externalize the embedment of everybody with everybody else, and everybody monitoring and super sensitive to everybody else, cloning of ESP.
Yeah.
So
yep.
The antidote to that,
yep.
Ion, and what Ion says is it would have to wait till this time and then come and break it up.
Yep, absolutely, 100%. It makes total sense. If you know, maybe if you have to hear it a couple of times, Greg Duffel, to, you know, really let it sink into your being. But absolutely, cloning ESP, 100%, everybody externalizing non-physical through the chip body and all of its power and ability to not only connect but reflect all these different aspects. And Ion had to come in and bust it up because we have got to... Yeah,
100%. Ion's not afraid of the technology. He's come in and he's working with the chip body. He celebrates the chip body, the chip landscape, because it allowed Ion to escape the control of humans on the religious level. And so it's creating a new cloud and all this stuff. It's working with and manipulating the non-physical that used to unite people. Now that we've created this external uniting of everybody, merging everybody, it leaves Ion free to engage in the physical. See, there's the amazing theological point, which is spelled out in tonight's session. You'll hear it later tonight. So Greg mentions he's Jesus, then Felix is Greg. Is anyone looking for you? And then Reiner says, too late, he's been found in Maui. And then Reiner says, or Nova Scotia. And then Greg says, that would be funny if Jesus did come back and he was a full-on atheist Marxist-Leninist and says he was the love child of Karl Marx. Felix says, Greg, you're a red diaper baby. Felix, he's a Canadian. He's a son of NDP people, New Democratic Socialists, the commies of Canada. Reiner says, or the love child of Joyce Finnegan's Flake. He's Joyce Finnegan's Flake. So Greg says, I saw this guy on TV the other night. Seemed as if he was a Jew, but spouting Christianity. Sid Roth, R-O-T-H, he says, is that his name, Sid Roth? He had this young British woman on who was one of those fraud faith healers. It was incredibly sad. And I wanted to phone the police and have them arrested. So Reiner says, Sid Roth or Tim Roth? I think I've seen that name Tim Roth before.
No, it's Sid Roth. It is Sid Roth. He is what's called a Messianic Jew, and that is a Jew who has adopted Christ as the Savior. He realizes that it's not, you know, they're not waiting for the Messiah, that he's already been there, so.
Yeah, see, Greg sits around watching these idiots on TV so he can feel superior to them. That's how Greg feels his godhood. He looks at the little people on TV. So Greg posts a link to Sid Roth's Canada Mission YouTube. Reiner goes, yikes, I guess he went and looked at it. And then Greg says, got kicked off just when I wrote a tirade against freedom of religion. I guess Greg wrote something right then to the people, and he got kicked off, or I don't know when he got kicked off. So we've upped that up to that. And so, Gene, did you want to say something? Gene said that she was driving 400 miles an hour ago. I don't know what that is, but her name's here. But she's not saying.
Hi.
So
I have to return a rental car and stuff, so I've got about 20 minutes. I'm just really enjoying the two of you, really enjoying the two of you.
Yeah, it's great having Ginny pontificate.
Yes, absolutely. Very refreshing. And Ginny always reminds me of looking at it differently, always looking at it differently. You guys were talking about, how I would say it is, everything that Ion says, even, you know, as you guys were drilling and grilling Ion to try to get specific words from them, I'm still getting stuff when I listen that I can apply right now. And it might be very different. It's not wrong or right. It's just in my now.
It's where you are. It's where you are.
Yes. And that's the beauty of it. And it's very personal. It always is tailor-made for me and anyone else who listens
right.
with.
Yeah, much of what I'm arguing with, matter of fact, when I re-listened to it last night, it made a lot more sense than it did back then. I'm wrong saying you're not making any sense. It actually does make sense now, what
but
I was saying. I could follow it.
But that's just what Ion said. It's a placeholder until you get
right.
to the knowing that there's no longer a question. The question isn't even there anymore. And then you re-listen to it, and it makes more sense because you're not even asking.
Right. And I ain't got to say that Carol and I were already ascended. So remember that, people. We got there way back there 8 years ago.
Of course.
But we were way down the rabbit hole. And, yes, what we were arguing about, you know, the average person's not at that point yet. They haven't interacted with Ion enough. So it's good for you to hear what it's like after a year of Ion, what we're like.
Yeah.
And we don't get it yet.
Yeah.
Yet we sound pretty good at talking to Ion, and we are good at it. But other people are going to get all kinds of insights from it that I'm not even aware of, which you just expressed.
And it's really useful to now have heard that you two went to that extent of grilling, you know, to get down to that detail, to try to get a conclusion, something that would stick that you could write down.
Yeah.
That's useful to hear now.
I would say that we, you get an example of humans, smart humans, still caught in the labyrinth of their mind trying to get a definition, though I wouldn't say it was that crude, because we are trying to write a book, and Carol has to take the words and get a sentence, and we couldn't get sentences out of what he was saying. So that was a bona fide complaint, but my solution was, we're an audio situation, which is better than books. And like Carol said, you'll just end up doing a Wayne Dyer book, you know, with simple platitudes that people require. They need that mental crutch. We're not the crutch. You can't describe what we do here. You can name aspects of it, but ultimately we are totally unique, especially when Ion's here. But even having recordings is pretty good.
Well, and Bob, I can see looking back now that a book could be written now. you know, that you have to have.
Well, that's what I realized. I'm going to get someone else to write it.
Yes. Yes. A book could be written. That's for sure.
And I like that. Ion saw the book, 385 pages, Thy Kingdom
yeah.
Come, and yeah. There it was sitting there. So, let's see.
And Jenny, I got
to
say one more thing. Hold
yeah.
on, because Jenny just, like, turns the gas up in my flame, because I know that, too, is we've only just begun in this. We've only just begun. And every...
Yeah.
Each, you know, what is it, 9 years for you guys?
Yes.
There's so many hints and little clues about all the things that are coming, all the things that are next. And,
right. If that's Reiner Reitzenstein out there typing, Reiner, you have to listen to all the private sessions. So if you've started... you should call in and talk. We should see what Reiner has to say. He hasn't talked for months. Greg says he's just regular folks. Reiner says, I identify as an irregular, angular, or rectangular. Martha says, I haven't read a book yet. Sounds exciting. Greg says, damn it, Ion, be a book-oriented bastard. He's quoting somebody. Damn it, Ion, be a book-oriented bastard. And VM says, whoever, you are correct, so when could you have not been? I don't know what who VM is addressing. He says, you were not correct. He says, perfect words, Bob. Then he says, you were not correct. So let's see if someone else phones in to give Ginny slack. She has to go to sleep soon. Right, Ginny? You've had it?
Yeah, I was just thinking, Bob, my eyelids are starting to get heavy.
Right. So
yeah.
You listened, you were on last week. You heard the session last week, then you went to sleep. Then many hours later, I played the second session. Did you hear the second session over this past week?
No,
the one
not yet, but
to?
I will listen to this sowing and reaping one, Bob. I will listen to it first thing tomorrow morning.
Right, right. It's pretty good. What's awesome hearing things said by Ion back then, we had no clue what he was referring to. We didn't even have the drops yet. You know, we didn't know anything. And then you can see how accurate Ion is way back then. Ion sees the whole now, the big now. He sees 2050.
Yeah.
He sees the 22nd century in relation to what we're doing.
Yeah.
Or they.
Yeah.
We say he, but it's not a he, it's a they. And we don't even know what that is. That's every now and then I'll say to me, Bob, you have no idea what you're talking to. Think of that. We have no idea what we're talking to.
Are we capable yet? Are we capable of knowing yet? I don't think so.
Well, you're quoting Devo.
Ion says,
are we not men?
Go ahead.
You're quoting Devo. Are we not men?
Well, I was quoting Ion saying, you're not even capable of
to understand what
not
we're doing.
Understanding, overlaying. Yeah. And then
I'm very happy that...
I was thrilled to hear the physical discussion, Bob, you know, that it's we're physical.
Oh, that's what I didn't mention.
Body.
Hey, Ginny, we never knew that, did we? The three kingdoms were vascular, respiratory, and cellular.
We didn't know that. That was neat. No, that was said right at the beginning, Bob, when they said three kingdoms, and then they broke it down,
yeah.
And then Carolyn helped make sense of it. It was very good.
And
yeah.
That's never been said again, as far as we know. You see?
Yeah, I've never heard it.
No, and there it is, the body process. What do you think of that, Carolyn? Yeah. So that's, you know, these little nuggets that are hidden way back there.
That word body. That word body is just—it's as vast and broad as the angel chart in its definition.
Yes.
And it's all
yeah.
in the physical.
Right.
All right, Bob. I'm signing off. Thank you, Gene. Thanks, Greg. Everybody,
thank
have a
you,
good night.
Ginny.
And I will listen to it in the morning. I promise, Bob. Have a wonderful rest of your show.
All right. Thanks a lot, Ginny.
Enjoy
thanks
your
for
dream
contributing
travels.
Your... Yeah, Reiner says you're expressing clarity, Ginny. He says, what is this? A second, Ginny, I get the exact words. Yeah. Reiner says, Ginny reflects clarity, a rarity. A rarity.
That's very sweet. Thank you, Reiner. All right, everybody, good night.
Night, Ginny. Right. Thank you.
Good night, Caroline.
Right. And then Reiner says, I look forward to more private session listening, but like Ginny, the eyelids are drooping. I am not men. I am they. P-H-E-Y, all capitalized. VM says, autonomic domain. Leon goes in. Then he says, three kingdoms. And then Greg says, Bob's a book-oriented bastard. Leon says, give me Bobby. Okay, so unless someone calls in and we get talking about some other stuff, we should maybe do our McLuhan thing, Carol, if no one's going to call in. Let me just check with Sarah.
You guys haven't done the book review for a few weeks now.
Well, several months. Oh, no. We did do it a couple weeks ago. You're right. Yeah, well, a month ago or something. Sarah, do you have anything to say? No, nothing from Sarah.
No, I have a better mic.
You want a better mic?
No, I don't have one yet.
Well, your mic's okay right now. I don't know how it comes across in the recording, though. I don't re-listen to the recordings, but it's clear. So what do you have to say? What are you learning from what we're talking about? Nothing to say? Okay, so I want to, Gene, I think you're on the McLuhan Facebook page, Alex Kuskus's forum.
Yes.
Okay, well, they're discussing me and Mark Stallman, so I thought I'd read it into the record.
I'll do that.
Yeah, it's interesting how I'm interpreted. The how did this come up? So I'll just have to read it. Alexander Kuskus asked me why I haven't posted any of the great stuff I got from the National Archives that I said I would post to his blog and his forum, and apparently trying to be in a McLuhan scholarship forum on Facebook. And the reason he let me, after kicking me off a year or so ago, he let me back on because he wanted me to post stuff that he could use. So he says, Bob, where's more of that great stuff that is McLuhan related that you claim to have oodles of and that you told me you were going to provide? I haven't seen anything like that for quite a while. And that's true. I hadn't posted anything in months. So I answered him, this is yesterday, I have been distracted by my efforts to update Mark Stallman's perceptions over the past 4 months over at the old Facebook page called New Explorations Group, that everybody left. Now, you have to be polite on Alex's forum. Who's that? Who's making that noise? Who just came in? Is that you, Gene?
No, that was just me.
Yeah, that's just, what is that, outdoors noises?
Yeah, she's at a car right now.
Okay. Well, I'm going to mute that just before I go through this. Then I'll ask you, Gene, what you think of it. I was distracted over at the old Facebook group, New Explorations Group it was called, that everybody left, And I didn't say, because you got to be polite, but everybody left because Mark drove them off. It was a group that came out of a conference they had on the Toronto School of Communication in 2016 in Toronto. And then they all got on there, but then apparently Mark drove them off. And then I say, I didn't say that, but I say this. Alas, Mark ran off before I could complete his re-edumification. So I was just being joking there. Mark didn't get totally re-educated by me over at the New Aspirations Group because he ran away. And then Alex says, crikey, I'm glad I bailed out of there last year. Alas, Adam is the guy who runs the New Aspirations Group, it seems to be, and he's a friend of Mark Stallman. So Alex says, alas, Adam, who's a bright young guy, and Adam would be reading this, Adam, who is a bright young guy, seems to support some of Stallman's nonsense and tolerates him. Maybe it's like those owners of exotic pets, like a tarantula or a scorpion. They are cultivated until they sting you. So who's the pet there, Carolyn, Adam or Mark?
Adam's Mark.
Right, so Adam stings Mark.
Mark finally stings Adam.
Well, then Mark's the pet. Yeah, the pet stings the human.
Oh.
Okay, so they are cultivated until they sting you. Okay, maybe he's saying that Mark stung Adam and Mark was the tarantula or scorpion. So Peter comes in, I won't say his last name, and he says, for your information... And he had left the same time as Mark did. He says, I left New Aspirations because of Bob. Afterwards, Mark and Jeff, etc., left too in support of me as a center for the studies of digital life. That's Mark's center, a fake center, whatever it's supposed to be. And Peter was part of that center. And yes, Adam did have a somewhat high tolerance for Bob's, in brackets, often personal, sometimes sacrilegious insults. Then Adam comes in and says, if it weren't for Bob and his crew of explorers, that would be Bert and Brian, all these people, and Gene who come into this Facebook page. If it weren't for Bob and his crew of explorers, New Aspirations Group, not the one where this is being posted, which is the McLuhan Group, the New Aspirations Group where Mark and I went at each other, would be nothing but a Lonely Hearts Club band. So he's saying that Bob and his crew liven up New Aspirations Group, even though Mark's gone. Peter says, no doubt, just clearing up the actual story for Alex Kuskus, who seemed confused, thinking it was Mark that drove people out, unless you feel Mark stung you. I think Bob's saying Jesus sucks, which I said in my back and forth with Mark. They're devout Roman Catholics. I actually said Jesus sucks, but they didn't know I was talking about the third Jesus. I think Bob saying Jesus sucks was the last straw, because Peter's a Catholic. Don't know if that would have flown in the old Explorations Group or Marshall's Toronto seminars. No, I wouldn't have said that in those situations. I'll say it at Mark, wherever Mark is. Mark deserves it. He's a bad Christian. Adam then says, yes, in terms of driving people out, Bob was the primary culprit. Although, I suppose Mark has been responsible for a few people over the last couple of years. Yes, Alex said Mark drove most people out. Different people seem to object to Mark's authoritative personality and to Bob's occult messages about mediums in quote, religion versus spirituality / alphabet versus goddess. Spirituality is goddess, religion is alphabet. So, yes, Mark, if he doesn't drive them off, I drive them off because I mentioned ION. And that's why I like New Aspirations Group. I'm allowed to talk about ION. Adam doesn't mind me doing that, whereas I can't mention anything I do personally over on the McLuhan Group run by Alex Kuskus. Then Peter says, yep, Bob flows with, quote, anything goes, unquote, electricity. Bob flows with anything goes electricity, whereas Mark's study recognizes structural authorities. Well, I recognize all kinds of structural authorities. Then Alex Kuskus comes in And this is public information, so he can say, I think I can read it. He says, I have a 15-year history with Mark Stallman that precedes new explorations. He was kicked off the old Marshall McLuhan listserv that is now defunct, the late Peter Montgomery in British Columbia being the last moderator. The Media Ecology Association email list, he was kicked off that. And most recently, the McLuhan Facebook group, from which he was booted by Martin Speer. That'd be a couple of years ago, now run by Alex. The reason was the same in all cases. Mark insults individual users with whom he disagreed and posting overly long notes to promote his pet theories, which I always say are LaRouche-derived from LaRouche, these latter theories often being in connection with religious beliefs. He's always happy to use McLuhan to insult non-Catholics, wrongly, I might add, because McLuhan kept his religion private and did not disrespect others who believe differently. Is Mark an explorer of a very small space, I would say. The same old stuff he's been tediously promoting for many years. And Alex is correct about that. But Mark always seeks somebody else's platform rather than starting his own, because his followers are few and can be counted on one hand. And he needs a larger audience. Now listen to this, Carolyn. Bob Dobbs is eminently reasonable by comparison. But the two, Mark and Bob, together would be like oil and water. So then Scott says, Mark kicked me out because I refused to denounce René Girard and Hans Urs von Balthasar as heretics. It was a bit more complicated, but mainly because mimetic theory was a threat to his theories and has a lot of adherence within Catholicism and without. I'm not and never have been a Catholic, although my sister is. I've since come to the conclusion that both Girard and Donald Merlin, or Merlin Donald, overburdened the concept of mimesis, which is not something unique to humans. But I don't see Girard's discoveries as invalid, just out of context and absent a real theory of change. I've also come to the conclusion that humans would be perfectly fine if they designed their politics and economy according to the principles of fallibility launched by Charles Sanders Peirce, who was not Catholic, under the rubric, and this is Scott's own program, the rubric of generic design science and a handful of consensus methodologies. Build Demo Sophia. Now, I've had a separate argument with Scott the last couple of weeks over the absurdity of his program. And Charles Sanders Peirce was one of the first linguists in American history in the 19th century, and he should be in that book you're reading, Carolyn, but he probably isn't, but he should be. He's recognized as an amazing philosophical genius or something now. But no one recognized him when he was alive in the 19th century. Peter says, Alex, yes, McLuhan kept his Catholic religious beliefs private, perhaps to his own detriment, as more explorative reinterpreters like Bob and others promote him as a devout pagan. That's right. I take advantage of McLuhan's absence, and now that his son's gone, I can even do it more. I claim that McLuhan was a devout pagan, pretending, faking he was a Catholic for other purposes. And Peter sees me, he falls for that line. Then he says that McLuhan, but all of that, whatever McLuhan was doing, keeping his Catholic beliefs private, is in keeping with McLuhan's formal Thomas/medieval approach to these matters, plunging into the heart of chaos to resurface with a greater understanding. And then Scott replies to Peter and says, what Girard, that's René Girard, calls mimetic desire and rivalry in humans are manifestations of the recursive, now Scott's very verbose, what Girard calls mimetic desire and rivalry in humans are manifestations of the recursive action of signs, which had been mostly discounted within the way of signs by the medievals because they saw such recursion as second intention and therefore irrelevant. With the rebirth of the way of signs under Charles Peirce and the culturally specific orientation of Saussure, French founder of linguistics, which should have been called sematology, the phenomenon was recognized by a few and has become virtually the foundation of political and economic systems in the electrical era without much recognition. But exactly what is it? It has mimetic properties, but it's misleading to call it mimesis, a nominalism that is limited to observation of the external structure. Whatever it is, it's very definitely leaning toward paganism and the compulsion to break frame by identifying a universal scapegoat, a designation it has not yet achieved but aims at every day. But there's another way to break frame, a term coined by Chris Aguirre, and perhaps several ways. The one that's reachable for us as a new form of sense-making involves an environment called a demosophia by John Warfield that optimizes a set of consensus methodologies for public dialogue, enabling deep long logic to overcome human cognitive and perceptual limitations so we can deal effectively with innate complexity. Complex is not the same as complicated. This achieving demosophia out of demosophias at various scales requires a conscious strategy to completely transform the human built environment in the direction of what R. Buckminster Fuller called livingry as opposed to weaponry. We have everything but the design, which is a function of the action of signs within extrinsic formal cause. This is the foundation of the postmodern economy. Compared to this, the cyborg meme is just more disordered nominalism, just spaghetti thrown against the wall. Well, you hear that, Carol? Mm-hmm. Very incomprehensible blithering. So he was posting that a couple weeks ago, and I started to argue with him. And all you do is every now and then he says a bunch of stuff like that. He says, "You're agreeing exactly with what I said." So I claimed he's agreed with me, and he sort of agreed that I was agreeing with him. But then he distinguished it. But then eventually he started calling me insane. So he couldn't keep his cool. He had to get the Mark Stallman name-calling. So I win by default. So that's where it stands, people. Let's see what kind of comments. Reiner says, "Good night, all from Upper Canada." And he did that 14 minutes ago. Let's see. Nobody's saying anything other than VM Straka is saying stuff along the lines of Scott. Autonomic Relief Project equals Formulary Projects. So products, formulary products, Carolyn, what you do are autonomous relief projects. Would you agree with that? Autonomous relief projects. Okay, so no one else commenting on that. Let's do over the Gene. Now, Gene, do you have anything to say about what I read from Scott? Complicated demosophia methods?
Mute me. Yes, I do. I'm not necessarily about what Scott wrote, but because I have absorbed McLuhan through you, Bob, I've eaten McLuhan. You've served him up. It really strikes me as odd that the McLuhan scholars haven't updated themselves because they're the ones that, you know, have the expertise and the basis. So in the era of Trump as our president, in the era of, you know, journalism never being the same again, media never being the same again because of what Trump is exposing, you'd think that they'd be falling all over that and talking about that and applying that to what McLuhan predicted through Finnegan's Wake, you know, but it's totally lost on them. And the only thing they can do is judge you for being what?
A good McLuhan student.
Is there such a thing as out of place in the McLuhan, you know?
No, if you're polite.
As being out of
if you're polite, you're not out of place. Yeah, if you're polite, you're allowed in. But Mark wasn't polite. And I went after Mark, so I wasn't polite. But the so I did this, Clinton recorded one of our What Youths, really good, 2.5 hours, me talking to young people about what they're interested in. And I posted it. Did you notice? I posted on, it's my stuff. I'm not allowed to post my stuff on Alex's blog, but I did anyways. And then he sort of said, "This doesn't make any sense, blah, blah, blah." And then I refuted that back. Did you see what Scott wrote? Have you read Scott's? You didn't see my debate with him.
No, I haven't looked at it since the beginning of the week because I've been traveling down in Iowa.
No, but two weeks ago when I was arguing with him, were you reading his complicated responses?
No, No, I just scanned. Okay. I didn't get to look, take the time to look at that.
You see, what is odd is the guy. What?
What I did notice, Bob, is you had a 2.5 hour conversation with a young person, and you know, when have they?
Yes.
Done that.
Where do they? When do they have a show dealing with that? And my young people are
exactly.
getting insights.
Exactly.
What was I going to say? But Scott, imagine typing that. What I read just now, what he typed. Why would you type such fucking gabble unless you think you're fooling people and want to look smart? My typing is not that complex. I'm pretty simple. We got five bodies, and this is what they do, you know, and I keep it pretty limited. It's not that imaginative if you're looking for imaginative writing. But with Scott, his complexity of talk is ridiculous. You have to know a lot of conceptual linguistic stuff to even begin.
It's old-fashioned. It's outdated.
Yeah.
And he's,
He the picture of him, he has this ridiculous hat on. So there it is. He doesn't even have enough coolness to know he looks stupid with his picture, with his ridiculous positioning of his hat. So his complexity, he thinks, oh yeah, so I kept saying he described all this complex shit, this demosophia methodology. And I said, that's exactly what Trump is doing. He didn't fall for it. He didn't answer it. But Trump is probably doing what everybody is hoping to do, idealizing. They just don't recognize how Trump does it. Now, if I go back there, Gene, to the McLuhan thing, I would like to read you how I defended what youth. So let's see if I can bring it up here. Scrolling down. You should see all the great, Alex said, you're not posting anything. So then I posted 16 letters, important letters by McLuhan.
Excellent. Okay. Excellent. I had that question.
All the...
Were you waiting
for
him to request them? Because I noticed he hadn't been posting.
It could seem that way, but it was true. I was distracted over the other group, and I'm not that prompted to post stuff because they don't, they get mad at it or they say I didn't describe it properly. They're always complaining. Alex is always complaining about whatever I contribute. And, so I'm not motivated to do it, but I was getting ready to do it because I have about 50 of them sitting on my desktop, and I want to get rid of them. So I took advantage of the fact that he complained, and then that prompted me to do it. It's also the beginning of the cultural season. Hey, hear this sentence. It's the beginning of the cultural season, September. It's when everybody starts their new year, so I present new information in sync with September. So what are we going to say?
Nice. Well, I would consider on that group that their criticism is the highest form of flattery because they can't – they're just looking for something – you know, to bring, to try to chip you down, you know, because you do have the best stuff. You do have the best perspective and you've explained over and over again why they'll never be able to admit that, you know, they have to hold on to their ground. So it's the highest
right.
form of flattery. Yeah.
Yes. Sincere. What does McLuhan call it? Imitation is a serious form of battery. Imitation is a serious form of battery. Okay, so I posted this. It's called How to Teach Something New to a Millennial. So I posted, and Alex says, Bob, if you want somebody to listen to 2+ hours of you and someone else holding forth, I suggest you add a proper introduction to tell people what this is about and why it deserves their attention. Your title is not enough. So I responded, there are many young people in the discussion. I didn't want to single out any one of them, so I kept it anonymous. This discussion is not classifiable. It is absolutely unique. It is absolutely unique. Plus, it was recorded by one of the millennials who chomps food and burps, among other noises, while doing deep thinking in his bedroom. How I hold the discussion together and unleash insights in their minds is a phenomenon to be in awe of. and it should be played to all professors who are encountering such young students. Then I go, there, that is the appropriate introduction. So this bothers Alex, and I always brag about myself, but I believe that's true, what I just said. So
no,
Alex says,
beautiful response.
Right. So then Alex says, pray. What does this have to do with McLuhan? This is not a teaching or pedagogy group unless it relates to McLuhan. So Ian helped set him up. So I had a perfect answer. I said, understanding McLuhan is the majority of insights propagated, you know, on the recording. But with millennials who think they know everything about media, one can't use McLuhan in an obvious way, ... at first. Then I say, study how I do it. And I quote from James Joyce, his alternative to Portrait of the Artist as a Young Man Called Stephen Hero, which he wrote before Portrait, but it never got published in his life, I don't think, until later. He actually threw the manuscript away. He threw it in the fire, and his sister rescued it from the fire. So this, in this novel, and McLuhan used to quote this sentence, Joyce's Stephen Hero, sort of based on young Joyce, is bragging, and he says, the philosophic college should spare a detective for me. See, study how I do it. The philosophic college should spare a detective for me. They should study me, and they already do. We know that. I mean, the authorities. They should study how I do these kids. So someone named Abram Stern comes on, Carolyn, and I'm thinking, I think Gerd Stern, one of his sons, is named Abram. And so Abram says, I just finished teaching a Histories of New Media course over the summer. I guess undergrads are younger than millennials now, so maybe this doesn't apply. But I didn't get the sense that they saw themselves as already unteachable masters of media. There's a lot about everyday media technologies that they found bewildering and were very eager to pick apart and reassemble. Palpable hunger for new methods. So I respond to that. I say, the millennials and later, meaning the ones younger than millennials, the millennials and later grew up, up in quotes, grew up swamped in formal causality issues. What fascinates them later is efficient causality, the other, if given the opportunity to be instructed in it. In other words, they like to find out how things are done. Since they were born so deep into the Android meme, they don't know how anything got to be anything. So they like efficient causality, and they live of a world of advertising and focus grouping called formal causality, and they don't know, understand. They don't have any curiosity about that. They think they understand it. And then I say, after I say they're fascinated by efficient causality, which would support Abram Stern's statement, the ground of the above situations is what they never hear about, the ground of both formal causality and efficient causality. So then Alex comes in and says, you might want to parse the McLuhan speak in everyday language that folks who are interested in McLuhan but are not specialists can understand. Bob, your claims to be a guru to millennials is doubtful if you can't do that. Now, did I claim I was a guru? Nope. I just said I was correct. Anyways, my response is, I pioneered the percept quadrophenia, quadrophenia in quotes. Millennials grew up in quadrophenia. Once I explain it to millennials, they get it. The implications for older structures or media are perhaps harder to understand. As McLuhan seemed to know, understanding, and you put that in quotes, understanding is not limited to matching. Best to demonstrate to young people the mind in play at first. I do that very well, but I discourage any impression that I'm a guru. I sabotage that effect as much as possible. I don't charge money for any information I give out. I don't have any organization that could reinforce gurudom. If anybody acts as if I'm a guru, I don't mind that, but it doesn't last for long. McLuhan's work is very hard to understand. He didn't, and I don't, pretend that anybody was getting him or me. So McLuhan didn't pretend that anybody was understanding him. I'm the same way. And I go, let's keep it that way. And then I quote the last line of McLuhan's Cultures Are Business, came out in 1970. The line is, there is no finish line. So that's that, Gene. I hope
very
you found
nice.
It. Everybody else listening
very nice.
Found that interesting. Right.
Very nice.
And
well, that's, as you were reading what they were saying, they were basically saying, this is how you teach kids when they have no clue how to teach kids. And you very right. gently just responded saying, I'm not doing that. I'm getting them to come to me in a way, you know.
And I'm teaching them indirectly. I teach them indirectly.
Right, right. And in a way you were, if they really heard that, because you were teaching them at the same time, that's something that
yeah.
they really need to hear in order to
right.
change.
Right, in the course of this, I found out there's this journal, this Argentinian guy who came out to British Columbia. I think he went to Simon Fraser University and studied media. He started an online magazine called Figure Ground Communication, where he interviewed all kinds of teachers and professors who ostensibly were teaching something related to media. So he interviewed hundreds of people. So way back in 2012, I requested that he interview me, and he did.